Hello, and welcome to the Rising Engineer Podcast, a podcast for engineering students by engineering students. I'll be your host today, Gavin Knutson. This week we'll be discussing space and space exploration using small satellites, and we'll be talking to Ethan Wayland, who is the team lead for the Getaway Special Student Satellite Team, which is a team full of undergraduate students working on a new mission called Gas Rats, which will send a small satellite up into low Earth orbit. We will also be discussing their faculty mentor, Dr. Bakhtor, who has done extensive research on the topic and is an associate professor at Utah State University. She has come up with the idea of the payload for the satellite, which is an optically transparent radio patch antenna. All right, so we're here with Ethan. Thank you, Ethan, for being here today on our podcast. I'd like to start by asking you, what first got you interested in engineering and in STEM?
Yeah, so I guess kind of a funny story how I got into engineering. So I was big into like robotics in high school. I did that all 4 years. That was really fun. And then I did a lot of the programming on the robot, right? And so I initially signed up when I applied to USU to be a computer science major. And then kind of as the months were approaching before my first semester, I was thinking about it a lot more, and I was like, computer science sounds hard, and I don't know if I want to be programming for a career. I don't know if that sounds as fun just sitting at a computer, right? And so I made the pivot. My degree right now is in computer engineering, and so it sounds like a slight difference in name, but it's pretty much a completely different thing. So basically an electrical engineering major with a tiny bit of computer science and computer architecture sprinkled in there, which is pretty cool. So that's why I switched to engineering. That's how I got into that. And I love it. I'm glad I made that decision. I'm really enjoying what I'm doing right now.
So like you said, computer engineering is kind of a more specific field within the broader field of electrical engineering. Mm-hmm. So I guess, what made you choose that? Did you weigh the pros and cons between electrical engineering and computer engineering? And what spoke most to you about computer engineering?
Yeah, so I as much as I maybe didn't want to become a computer scientist, I did still love certain aspects of that. I loved programming and the problem solving and stuff that comes along with that. And I'm glad now, especially now that I'm in the professional program, I just started junior year, getting into some of the more specific and niche topics that you learn in classes. I'm glad I stuck with computer engineering specifically, because you learn a lot more specifically about that side of things and about how like computer architecture works and processors and stuff like that. And I find that just as interesting as the theory and all the math behind electrical engineering. That stuff's cool, but definitely having a practical application I find is even more interesting. So I wanted to be involved in that.
So can you tell me a little bit about the GAS team? What is it and what do you do?
Yeah, so the GAS team, the Getaway Special Team, has been around at Utah State for like 50 years now. Back in the day, we used to participate in a NASA program called the Getaway Special Program. Basically the university would pay $10,000 to have a 50-gallon drum full of whatever science experiments that students built inside of that 50-gallon barrel, and then it would just get sent on the space shuttle, and then we would get to test science experiments in space, which is pretty cool. So we did that for a long time. Obviously, the shuttle's not running anymore, so over the past couple years, the GAS team pivoted to now we're making small satellites, CubeSats specifically, which is just a specific form factor of a small satellite. So yeah, that's what we're doing right now. We launched our first CubeSat a couple years ago. We're working on a new one right now.
Awesome. Do you want to tell me a little bit about your new CubeSat?
Yeah, so GAS Rats, it's a pretty goofy acronym, but we like to pick the acronyms and then maybe make them fit the project instead of the other way around. But Getaway Special Radio and Antenna Transparency Satellite is a 3U CubeSat mission, so it'll be three times the size of our last satellite, about 10 by 10 by 30 centimeters, so pretty tiny, but you can pack a lot of punch into a small form factor like that. It's basically going to be testing some transparent antenna technology. And so we're working with Dr. Bakhtor. She's a professor in the electrical and computer engineering department. She's super smart. She's been researching CubeSat antennas for like over 10 years now in the department. And And so when she found out that we were making CubeSats, she just kind of approached us and was like, hey, do you want to test out some of this technology that I made? And we were like, cool. So that's the whole point of this satellite. It'll basically be testing this transparent patch antenna. It'll allow this satellite to optimize its surface area, and we won't have to sacrifice a solar panel basically to use a high gain antenna for sending lots of data down.
The broad idea is just being able to stick a transparent antenna on top of a solar panel. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to lose a solar panel when you stick an antenna on it.
Right? Exactly, yeah. Normally this type of antenna takes up a whole outside face of the satellite, which means you have to remove the solar panel that would go on that face of the satellite. But instead of that, we're going to make the antenna transparent. We're going to put it above the solar panel. Because it's transparent, all the light can get through the antenna, right, and still give us power generation. But then we're also able to use it as a regular antenna to get data down to the ground. So that's the idea behind it.
So as team lead for the GAS team, can you tell me a little bit about the importance of extracurricular activities, and especially having that leadership component of extracurricular activities with engineering school?
Yeah, so, I mean, it's really interesting because, like, if you're an electrical or computer engineer, that's your degree, right? But you don't even touch a breadboard or a circuit board until, like, sophomore year, right, when you take Circuits 1. And so getting involved in stuff like this, just kind of any extracurricular that you're interested in, is really cool because you can not only, like, be involved with that stuff and make friends and hopefully make friends with people who are in your major, so you have people to work with on group projects, but also you're able to kind of get a bit of a head start over someone who maybe isn't involved as much in stuff because you're able to get exposed to certain elements early on. Like, I didn't know what a resistor was even practically, like, my freshman year, right? And you don't even learn that stuff really until a couple semesters in. And so just being exposed to that and being able to learn about that stuff and get involved with it and get your hands a little bit dirty as you're learning the fundamentals. And then when you actually start learning that material in class, it can be really beneficial to have already known a little bit about that. And then you can focus more on really developing a deep understanding of it rather than just trying to memorize the facts about it, I guess, and pass the class.
Like you said, you don't learn a lot of these concepts during your classes until much later. And I feel like a lot of new students coming into school wanting to join these clubs, it can feel like there's a lot of, say, imposter syndrome. They feel like they don't know enough. What would you say to those people that feel like they don't know enough or they're not ready?
It absolutely does feel that way. I felt that way for a long time. But you have to understand that we're all in the same boat. We're all undergrads. None of us really know what we're doing. Some of us are just better at pretending, I guess. But the best way to learn is just to get in there and do your best and make mistakes and learn from those mistakes. And absolutely no one's going to ever be upset at you for doing your best and for trying to learn.
Going through engineering school can be challenging. And having extra things on top of that, say work or an internship or working on a satellite team can take a lot of time. How do you balance all these competing activities that compete for your time and attention?
Yeah, it takes some practice. You have to get used to it, especially in this degree. There's a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of stuff you have to juggle. But it really is just kind of prioritizing what's important to you and 'cause you're obviously not ever going to be able to be perfect in everything. And so just kind of take stock every now and then and think about what's most important to you and think about what's most beneficial for you. And that can really help you out and that can help put things in perspective.
All right. So what is one struggle that you faced during your studies and how were you able to overcome it?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned the time management question, because that kind of ties into probably my biggest struggle. One of my biggest struggles was this past semester, I took charge of the GAS team, right? And it was pretty stressful there for a little bit because I knew I was going into junior year, objectively the hardest year of any engineering degree, right? And I knew I was going to be taking charge of this stuff. And I knew I was, at the time, I was a TA, which, you know, you're not working that many hours, you're not getting that much money, but it's still a commitment and it's still something that I enjoyed doing and that I wanted to do. And so trying to juggle all of those was, I knew was going to be a struggle. And so my biggest challenge was, okay, if I take up this responsibility for the gas team, am I going to be able to give my full attention to and give my full energy to the gas team and to my classes and to like my job, right? And I thought about it for a while, and I kind of figured the answer was probably not. There's a lot of stuff going on, and so that's what I was kind of saying, of just take stock, kind of step back for a little bit, think about what's important to you. That's what I did, and I kind of made the decision that the gas team was a priority for me, and I wanted to make sure that we were successful, and so I wanted to make sure I had my energy towards that. And so I ended up not being a TA this semester, which is okay, because, you know, it's only a couple hundred bucks a week, but you know, for a college student, that makes a big difference. It was a pretty tough decision for me, but I'm glad I did that. And yeah, that was a big challenge for me to think about that and think about where I wanted to prioritize my time. But I'm glad it worked out.
Yeah, I feel like there's so many things that are really cool and that we want to do, but we only have so much time, right?
Yeah.
So I feel like that's definitely something I can relate to. So what are you most looking forward to after you graduate?
After I graduate, you know, I'm taking one class right now from Dr. Chakraborty, and he was telling us one time, he's like, yeah, this class kind of sucks. This class is hard. The assignments are hard. The material's hard. But just think about the engineering salary after you graduate. So that's a good motivator. That keeps me going sometimes. But that's just kind of a smaller one. I guess for me, I'm just excited to get out there and to be working on stuff, whether it's, you know, in the space industry or whether it's just at a regular electrical engineering job. Just be working on stuff with a group that larger scale projects that are going to be making a difference. That really excites me. And then along with that, I'm really excited for GasRats to launch. If all goes according to plan, we're scheduled to launch summer, maybe fall 2026. And so that'll be about the time I graduate. And so I'm really looking forward to that after I graduate. I'm excited to go to the launch, and I'm really excited to make sure that mission is successful. And that'll be a big moment for me, because I will have dedicated a lot of my life to that satellite by that point. But yeah, that's really exciting. I'm looking forward to that.
Now, do you have any other advice, tips, or tricks that you can think of that you'd like to share with our audience?
Well, this kind of ties back into extracurriculars, but just get involved in stuff on campus. It doesn't even have to be anything associated with your major necessarily, but just find something you're interested in. It really makes a difference in being involved in stuff, because you can make those friends, and if you can make those friends with people in your classes, that's great. And if you can get exposed to that stuff that makes your degree easier and more fulfilling, that's great. And it really is just a good experience. You're here in college to get a degree, but you really want to get more out of it than just the degree. So if you can really maximize your time usage there and really be able to profit off of the energy that you're putting into stuff, it can really make a difference for you, and you can really learn a lot more than just what you're learning in class.
Yeah, thank you for joining us, and thanks for your time. It's been awesome.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, so we're here with Dr. Baktor, and I'm just gonna start by asking, what got you interested in engineering in general?
I'm just quite a curious person, so from young I was curious of how things work. I'm just curious at everything. I got interested in pretty much everything, and I like to find out how things work. And I think that pretty much just describes engineering, right? You find out how something turn, how something fly. So that's pretty much it. So I'm just interested in figuring out how things work, and I like to ask questions. And then with that, when I was about to be done with primary school, we started to learn some basics in science, such as electromagnets, how to make one, and some basics of physics. And I got really interested in physics. I liked physics a lot. And then when I went to college, since I like physics a lot, but then I liked making, building things, inventing things more. So therefore, engineering is something that is closely related to physics, but then allows you to build some stuff. So I like to build things, and I like to find out how to build one and figure out how to make something better. So I feel that fits engineering quite well. So it came quite naturally.
Awesome. So out of all of the disciplines within engineering, why did you choose electrical engineering?
Oh, great question. So I like the astronomy, I like the physics a lot, math, and I like to build some systems that can turn or do things for us. But then I got myself a book on projects in electrical engineering, where I learned about transistors and I learned about antennas, so and about the circuits. So with electrical engineering, what's really cool compared to other discipline of engineering is that you can control things from electricity. You can control and build things that will do other tasks for you with circuit boards. And then you can send your commands and the control through wireless link. You don't have to be in the same place to operate the machine. And there are technologies to make them becoming smaller and smaller. So all of that just felt really cool, that you can control things with your computers, you can write code to control something. I kept on saying control. I don't mean that electrical engineering is just about control. What I really meant is you can design and invent something that you can make it work for you through telecommunication, through wireless method, without a actual connection. And that just feels really cool. You have so much power. You can make something rotate or send some message for you from very far away. So it's just really cool. And make it very small, something that you can build that goes into human body to repair some organism, etc. I just thought that's just fascinating.
This love to build things and this love for science, how did you develop from this love into where you are today? What's your story from discovering this passion to becoming a professor?
Right. So as you have already worked with me for a bit, by helping me with the lab and, just the communication in general between us, I think you already noticed I am a very talkative person. I like to talk and I like to share. So I like to find out how things work and I like to figure out how to build one. And meanwhile, I also like to share. I like to tell people, hey, I did this, I did that. This is how you do it. So I think the best way of being able to talk to people or share what you did without annoying them is through teaching. Otherwise, can you imagine my relatives, growing up? I mean, I guess you can imagine how much they were annoyed that from time to time I just grab them and tell them, hey, I found out how this worked. Do you want to learn? They're like, okay, tell me. But the students will never say that. So I think the best way to combine your passion of learning to figure out how things work and how to build something or invent something, and then to explain it to other people, and then help other people to be able to build more and invent more. I think when you put all of this together, it links to the professor position in electrical engineering or in engineering. So that came quite natural. And I did not even search for any other job because this was my dream job and this is the only thing I wanted. And it worked out perfectly for me.
That's awesome. I'm really happy for you. What advice would you give to any students who are also interested in becoming a professor or pursuing a career in academia?
So it's a really, really, really wonderful job to have. I want to clarify one thing. For a lot of people, they thought professor position is mainly teaching. I would say it's not true. In fact, in most research universities, the teaching load for a professor is only 40%, could be even less. So yes, we do teach, but we also have to, we are required. Meanwhile, we would love to also spend at least half of our time, maybe more than half of our time in inventing things, in doing research. So if you would like to do research and like to teach, then this is the best position. And if you like to teach, but then feel like, hey, I don't want to just teach, I want to really create things, then I would say this is again the best position, because as a professor, you are allowed to explore any possibilities. You don't have to even just do something that you have learned to do at school. You are encouraged to look out for something new. You are encouraged to sleep in tomorrow. So for anyone who would like to live in the future, and of course who would like to talk, then this is the best job.
Speaking of research, would you mind telling us a little bit about some of your research, especially with regards to the GAS team's current project?
Sure. So my research is designing antennas for Cube satellite. So I'm an associate professor in electrical engineering department, and my main area is antenna design and electromagnetics, microwave circuit, etc. So if I do have time, I want to just stretch out a little bit. So when I was working on my doctoral thesis, I was in a group that is very good, very active in applied electromagnetics, which is a big umbrella that includes computational electromagnetics, which means you build computer codes that will allow you to simulate all kind of things such as antennas, such as, you know, what's happening between two sensors, just any kind of system that includes electromagnetic phenomena such as radiation, absorption, etc. So there, my dissertation work was on computational electromagnetics. And then when I came to Utah State University, I thought, I don't have to just keep on doing what I did before. I want to do something new. I want to build something. I want to design antennas, because antenna looks really cool. And especially with the microstrip patch antenna, you can just build antenna with just one sheet of metal. And that's really, really fun to work on. So therefore, I wanted to work on antennas. Now, if I were in a university where the university has a strong heritage in medicine, then probably I would have done antennas design for medical application. So when I looked around, Utah State University is quite known for its space program. So therefore, I thought, okay, I should look into antenna design for space application. And with that, I looked into CubeSat, because USU has a CubeSat team and Space Dynamics Lab have lots of CubeSat projects. So for CubeSats, one of the challenges is to fit everything into a very small unit. A CubeSat, one U CubeSat is as large as just a big orange, right? So putting everything on it, including solar panel and antenna, and that's a challenge. Therefore, being able to design antennas creatively that does not have to compete for that limited space is important. And one way to achieve that is to design optically transparent antenna that you can put on the solar panel. So that's what I started to work on. And as my work became more known in my field, I was invited to give a keynote speech at one of the IEEE conferences. And at about the same time, Utah State University students, a GAS student, Getaway Special students, they just delivered their first satellite, GASPAC. So I thought, instead of talking about my work that is related to CubeSat, why don't I just talk about our student satellite? So I approached them. I said, would you mind to tell me more about your project so I can use your satellite as a platform to talk about my work? And they were very happy. They're like, great, so you thank you for promoting our satellite and our team. So they explained to me how they build their project, the timeline, and they showed me their workspace. and talk to me about how the satellite is going to be launched, etc. So that worked out really well. So I was able to deliver my talk and give some real example. And after that, the gas pack students, now it's gas rats, gas student, they approached me and said, since you work on transparent antennas, for our next project, can we use your antenna as our main mission payload? And I was like, great. Would be wonderful, so that it will be a good project for you, and also it will be a great opportunity for me to test my antenna in space. So that came as a really nice mutual interest, and since then, I have been working with them, working with guest students to train them on antenna design, and my lab is open for them to fabricate their antennas for the satellite. So the main payload for the current gas is a optically transparent antenna that is placed on the solar panel. And this antenna is inkjet printed with conductive ink on a very thin membrane that you can just stretch it and put it on top of the solar panel. It could have been a glass too, but eventually the gas students decided to use that very thin membrane material because it's a space certified material. So it has been working out great, and we do work overtime quite a bit because most gas students are from mechanical engineering. So I do use some evening or weekend time to teach them how to design antennas. And I work with them to review their proposals, and I write proposals to secure summer funding for them. So overall, this has been a really fun ride.
Awesome. And with your love for teaching and your role as a mentor for the gas team students, it's really obvious that you really care about these future engineers. And I'd just like to ask you, why do you think it's important that we encourage and inspire the next generation of engineers?
Okay, the short answer is, we want to look forward, and a lot of great things are happening, and even more will happen. So I just feel it's really important to tell our new students to not to be afraid of trying, and don't get disappointed if you see something not working out. Look forward, look for future. And with that in mind, for like more specifically for engineering, for space, or just the science, I think it's very important to just tell them or show them a bright future that they have. And this is a great platform for them to explore and to expand and to bring more to the world. So I always, when I do my presentations, I'm a distinguished lecturer of IEEE, so I'm invited to give presentations everywhere in the world. So whenever I present, I talk about how to make antennas smaller and smaller, or how to discover more. And I always say, well, by discovering more, like one example is every day we have new stars born in the universe, every day. So we try to discover more stars, but meanwhile we don't have to because you guys are the stars. So just know that you are in a very bright place and you can make it even brighter, even better. So yeah, let's just be hopeful.
Awesome. I love that hopeful attitude and approach. Especially since sometimes being a student, especially an engineering student, can be challenging. So I'd like to ask you, what's one challenge that you faced as an engineering student, and what were you able to do to overcome that?
Okay, so before talking about myself, do you mind if I just add on something about that challenge part?
Absolutely, go for it.
Okay, so so we all know the center of Milky Way. The center of Milky Way, that is the brightest place in our galaxy. It's somewhere close to, it's called Sagittarius, right? That, that teapot shape or the horse with the guy shooting the arrow. So I think it's called Sagittarius. Okay, we can look it up. But anyway, so it's right there. That's the brightest place in the universe. And I talk about that because from that center of galaxy, we have some heat coming in. It's called galactic noise. And that's something I have to consider when I design antennas that is going to be used in space. now backtrack a little bit. The center of the universe, just 2 or 3 years ago, James Webb Telescope was able to actually take really good pictures, look into the center of not universe, our galaxy. And turned out there's a big black hole there. So I tell myself, as well as all my students, I tell them that sometimes you might feel that you are in a black hole. It's challenging. You see no hope you might be in a black hole. But just that you know, this black hole is actually right next to the brightest place in our galaxy. All you need to do is just look around. You don't have to just look under your feet. Just look around. So with that, now for myself, the biggest challenge is, again, not knowing what future lies. When you are electrical engineering student, any student at some point, I mean, at least I was like that. I just was not sure what I am good for, where I will find a job, what I would be doing. So you just feel like really unsure of where your future is. So to overcome that, one of the things you could do is just look outside. Just look around you. Look around you and talk to somebody or read something. Just communicate with other people, because when you look around, you might discover you're actually right next to the brightest place.
I really love that. That was awesome. Thank you so much. That was really inspirational. I really like your hopeful attitude and approach to teaching and engineering.
Thank you.
So I'd like to ask, what are you most excited about for the future of antenna design and electromagnetic research?
Okay, one thing I'm excited about everything, as you can see. I'm curious, so I like to learn everything. These days, so what keeps me really excited is the nanotechnology. And so we are trying to make everything small, right? Everything smaller and smaller. And when I'm working on this optically transparent antennas, currently we are using a film that is called silver nanowire. So when you make silver really, really thin and small, and, you know, so thin, so small, then the light can just go through it, right? So optically transparent. But meanwhile, that may not be the only reason. So there are other reasons for the light to go through. So from there, I just got excited about how to make things so small, or how to make a bigger antenna from a film that is composed of this nanotechnology. And how does things work when they are made so little? When the wire is so thin, do we still have the electric current that follows Ohm's law? Or do we need to study it from some quantum effect? So just all these questions keeps me really excited. And therefore, for the future, I feel like we will have more and more very small electronics, really small antennas, transparent antennas, or antennas can hide you. You know, not just antenna, it's maybe just called cloaking, right? Something that can bend the light, that you can be invisible. So all of these, and all this like a control that you can do not on site, such as maybe some of the circuit board can be just projected to next to you, and then you can click the buttons to do your work. So all of these things just feel so exciting to me.
We're reaching the end, and I'd like to ask you a little bit about, if you could go back in time, back to your previous self as a student, knowing what you know now, what advice would you give?
So I assume you want a real answer that you want my actual real answer, not a decorated correct answer, right?
Yes.
Okay, so the real answer, if I actually can go back in time, I will tell the previous self that, hey, time traveling is real. Don't worry. This is how you build it. So let me help you to cheat a little bit. This is how you can figure out how this machine works. So that's what I really would do. But meanwhile, okay, now let me try to give an answer that maybe you or others are looking for. So if I do go back, I mean, I'll just say, okay, don't worry, just keep going, because I'm really happy with where I am now. I don't feel I'm someone who do not really have much regrets. So, and it may not be the same for everyone. However, I think one piece of advice is just look forward. Just keep on going. Whatever you do, you have nothing to lose.
And with that, do you have any other last things you'd like to say to our audience?
Come to electrical engineering.
Yeah, that's where the cool people go.
Yes, I mean, there are many science, many, many everything, but electrical engineering is really good. And even if you are doing other science, I think it's important to take some classes from electrical engineering. I think it's important to combine things, biology with electrical engineering, mechanical with electrical engineering, astronomy. I mean, it applies to everywhere, right? So.
Absolutely. Awesome. So thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today and answering some questions and giving us all a little bit of hope.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you for joining us. I'd like to thank Ethan Wayland and Dr. Bakhtar for their time here on the podcast. I'd also like to thank my editor, Densley Knutson, and as well as the College of Engineering at Utah State University. I'm your host, Gavin Knudsen, and we hope to see you next month for another podcast.